Welcome to Pandora's Box, a Linklaters podcast about new operational resilience rules in the EU. I'm Jimmy Pigott-Barder. I'm an associate in Linklaters' financial regulation practice in London. And it is very much a Anglo-Dutch affair today because I'm joined again by two colleagues from our Amsterdam office, so Baz Jenin and Leonard van Daande. Thank you. Welcome both. Thank you very much for joining. In our previous episode, we looked at the record keeping rules under DORA, specifically the requirement for firms to keep a register of information about third party ICT services. But that isn't the only record keeping requirement under DORA. In this episode, we'll focus on the record keeping and reporting obligations around ICT incidents. So, Baz, I'll turn to you first. Talk us through what the aims of DORA are in this area around ICT incidents.
Thanks, Jimmy. Well, DORA sets a harmonized rulebook for building operational resilience, no different for the reporting of ICT incidents. There's already a process built into EU Payment Services Law for the reporting of major operational and security incidents. Those rules already apply to payment service providers like banks, e-money institutions, and other non-bank payment service providers. And depending on the jurisdiction you're in, like the Netherlands, there may be other incident reporting requirements for financial entities. Now, DORA is seeking to apply a harmonized ICT incident reporting regime to a wide range of financial entities, requiring them to report ICT-related incidents to their regulators in a more consistent way. It also wants more information to be shared about cyber threats. Overall, the aim is to circulate more information about incidents and threats across the industry.
Thanks, Baz. That's great. So that's obviously the aim of what the Commission is trying to achieve here. So, Leonard, I'll come to you now. What do firms have to do in this area?
Yeah, so a lot of what DORA aims for is to address vulnerabilities in your ICT system so that incidents don't take place. But of course, incidents will happen from time to time. DORA therefore also requires financial entities to set up a process for detecting, managing, and reporting ICT-related incidents. Obviously, firms will already do this to some extent, but DORA now prescribes that you have specific processes for identifying, tracking, and logging ICT-related incidents, assigning responsibility for addressing these incidents, and setting out how they should be escalated and communicated within your firm and externally to customers and stakeholders. Not all incidents need to be reported to the regulator. Only ICT-related incidents that you classify as being major need to be reported.
Thanks. So the obvious next question here then is, what ultimately makes an incident major? Obviously, the idea of major will be very different between firms. So Baz, I'll come back to you on that.
For this, we need to look at level two technical standards. DORA sets the main obligation to report major ICT-related incidents, but the European supervisory authorities have been given the job of setting the criteria which determines whether an incident is major or not. So let's imagine that you've detected that an incident has taken place. The first question you need to consider is whether there has been a successful, malicious, or unauthorized access to your network and information systems. Very broadly speaking, have you been hacked? If the answer is yes, then that's considered to be an incident affecting critical services and one which triggers the reporting requirement. If not, there are some other things to consider. First of all, you need to assess whether critical services are impacted. Then the rules go into more detail about various criteria, for example, about geographical spread and economic impact of the incident. If two or more of these additional criteria are met, then you have a major incident on your hands.
And so you've got that major incident on your hands, as you say, which would then mean that you have to report it. So, Leonard, if you could give us an example of applying these criteria in practice.
Sure. One of the criteria focuses on clients, counterparties, and transactions. So if you have an ICT incident that adversely impacts more than 10% of your clients, that criterion would be met. Other sub-criteria may apply too. For example, if more than 100,000 clients are impacted. A separate criterion covers service downtime. This is relevant where an incident goes on for more than 24 hours or there's a downtime of more than 2 hours for ICT services supporting critical or important functions. This means that an outage of, for example, online banking services that meets these time thresholds and impacts a certain number of customers triggers two criteria, and so you need to classify it as a major.
And so we're only scratching the surface here because there are several criteria and thresholds that firms will ultimately need to consider. Baz, I'll come back to you. So what's your advice for firms when implementing these?
Yeah, it's really important that you start as early as possible to build out the processes you have around identifying and classifying incidents. This exercise is going to be much larger for firms that have not had regulatory requirements like this imposed on them before. It makes a big difference whether an incident is material or not. And as we've suggested, there are many things that you need to take into account at the same time as responding to the incident in the real time, of course.
And thinking about the end-to-end process, so what are the timeframes that firms have to work through this process?
Well, to answer that, we need to look at a couple of other sets of technical standards. These cover the process of reporting major ICT-related incidents to the regulator. There are three things to note. Firstly, you need to make three reports, an initial notification, an intermediate report, and the final report. Secondly, each report needs to include certain data fields. There are 101 data points in total, which cover all three types of reports. Finally, you need to submit each one within a set time frame.
Yeah, so under the draft rules we have so far, the proposal is that firms would need to submit their first report either 4 hours after they classify the incident as being major or within 24 hours of detecting the incident. The intermediate report would be due within 72 hours of the incident. The final report should then be submitted a month after the initial notification is sent.
These are ambitious timeframes. Given the amount of data that needs to be reported while you are also contending with the incident itself and potentially making reports to other stakeholders at the same time, such as data regulators or overseas regulators. That said, the rules are being set to align with other European and international standards in this area, so there may not be much flexibility for changing these.
That's right. I mean, there's going to be a lot of moving parts for firms when managing this end-to-end process. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in practice. And ultimately, we're waiting for these draft rules to be finalised, and we'll keep a lookout to see whether these timeframes do indeed change potentially. So we focused on ICT-related incidents, but there is something slightly different. So there are also provisions in DORA that relate to this idea of cyber threats. How are these different from ICT-related incidents?
So the starting point is that there are rules in DORA that require firms to classify cyber threats as significant, principally based on the criticality of the services and risk, the number and or relevance of clients or financial counterparties targeted, and the geographical impact. Firms may then, on a voluntary basis, notify significant cyber threats to the relevant regulator. Firms should do this when they deem the threat to be of relevance to the financial system, service users, or clients. In this context, firms should also inform potentially affected clients of any appropriate measures that the client can take to protect itself. DORA also specifically permits firms to set up arrangements to exchange cyber threat information among themselves. This intelligence might be shared, for example, to raise awareness of threats or to restrict the ability of cyber threats to spread.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how market practice develops in this area. And I think this might be a topic in particular that industry working groups might want to look at. So as you said earlier, Baz, the aim is for more information to be shared about incidents and cyber threats ultimately. But there remains plenty for firms to do to get those processes ready by the DORA deadline. As you've mentioned already, and as you mentioned, I think on every podcast, that deadline is fast approaching. So 17th of January, 2025. I think we'll call it there. We'll be back with another edition of Pandora's Box very soon. Thanks to Baz and Leonard for joining and for sharing their thoughts. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak again soon.